Praise God. I want to share with you some thoughts. Last week we had some, as I mentioned, some very good sessions with Brother Eli Hernandez. And instead of jumping off from what the Lord has been speaking to us in the week, I want to crystallize some thoughts. And I'm not going to say the same things that Brother Eli has said, because you can listen to that on the CD, or you can get it on the on our iCast or podcast or whatever cast we have, webcast. And I do believe, Aslan, we have some CDs recorded somewhere at the back. It's somewhere there, and you can get a hold of it. I think it's $5. Yeah, we've got a couple of CDs for those of you who would like to get a CD rather than going to the web. And there's one recording, there are two recordings that cannot be posted on the web for some reason, so you can get a hold of the stuff by CD. $5, really, really cheap. Praise God. God's good. Amen. I want to mention just three things, that three ideas which Brother Eli shared last week, and I want you to take note of it. If you got your Bible, would you turn there? First, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. It's before Song of Solomon, after Proverbs, if you're finding it. Right there in the first chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. And he says, vanity of vanities, or in other words, meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verse 3, it says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. It goes on, and many of you have read through the book of Ecclesiastes. If you have not found a philosophical book to read in the Bible, read the book of Ecclesiastes. If you want to get someone to tell you like it is, tell you to the face what life and the inevitability of the futility of life is like, go read the book of Ecclesiastes. If you feel for a moment puffed up and feel that you're in cloud nine, living in cloud nine, go read the book of Ecclesiastes. Suddenly you feel that somebody has pulled you down. Because the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes says some words of wisdom. He says life is essentially, when you live the course of this life, is essentially meaningless. He says, what's the big point of growing rich and having lots of wealth? Because all the wealth you have won't save you. You will die one day. And then he says, you thought you made great legacies to live for many, many years. But somebody, your child or somebody else, will take over that and they'll ruin it. And if you've lived enough history or you've read enough history, you know that pretty much is the case. People who have got great wealth, great success, many of those things don't stay forever. It's fairly meaningless, because after a while, somebody destroys it, undoes it. And so, if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it becomes really clear to each one of us that life under the sun is pointless. If you agree with it, say amen. And so, Brother Eli shared about, he preached from that statement, life under the sun. Everybody say life under the sun. Life under the sun is meaningless. In fact, the word meaningless or vanity, the same word they use for the person in the Bible called Abel. You know, in the book of Genesis, you read about Abel. Abel's name is actually the root word for meaningless. If you know about Abel's life, Abel, the Bible tells us, offered a right sacrifice to God. He didn't offer the wrong sacrifice. He gave the right thing. He followed God. He was obedient. He knew that God wanted a blood sacrifice. And so he brought a right sacrifice to God. What happens to him? He gets killed because of that. And you think about Abel's life. You say, what in the world? Why go through all that effort to do what is right before God? At the end of it, you get killed. Just so unfair. I'm sure many of you in the last week, you'd have said life is unfair. Anybody said life is unfair? No, praise God. This church is living above. Hallelujah. I'm glad I come to a church like that. I'm sure in some day of your life, you look around and it feels pretty meaningless. It feels meaningless doing good things to people. It feels meaningless serving other people. It's meaningless. What's the point? After a while, they don't appreciate that. It feels meaningless giving. You don't seem to receive anything back. It feels meaningless doing so many things. It feels meaningless sometimes even living. But in all that, we realize that life under the sun is essentially grasping for the wind. That's what Ecclesiastes 2:11 says. It's grasping for the wind because you can never catch it. Nothing seems to be permanent. There's no adequate result left behind. Nothing really satisfies you truly. It's all passing satisfaction. You think about all the good meals. How many of you have eaten all the expensive restaurant food and you still feel satisfied today? Many of us are gourmets and we have lived and some of us have traveled the world from Europe to Italy and Iceland to Finland to South America. We have traveled everywhere and we come back here. Is it still very meaningful? We kind of forget that it doesn't feel so good. And so Ecclesiastes talks about life under the sun is meaningless. But I'm glad that God has called His church to live above the sun. Would you say amen? Wow, if that was not a revelation to you, that's a powerful revelation. God's not called you to live under the sun. He has called you to live above the sun. Would you say amen? In fact, a few weeks ago, I preached about from the book of Ephesians. And I talked about our heavenly position in Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of Ephesians, when it talks about the heavenly places, everybody say the heavenly places. The word heavenly places is the word above the sky. When God has called you, He's called you to live your life in heavenly places. He's called you to live above the meaninglessness of this world and its existence. Would you say amen? God has called you to live a life above the sky. Would you say a good amen? Amen. Let me just backtrack to some of the things that I shared in the book of Ephesians. And if you've got your Bible, just go back to the book of Ephesians. Just remember a couple of verses. Ephesians 1:3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I'm glad I live above the sky. Would you say amen? I live above. And because I live under the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. When you live above the sky, you live under the sun. That's Jesus. The Bible says He has given you every blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Think about it. It's as if God in heaven, He has sown. He has poured out, He has sown seeds of blessings in the heavens. And when you get there, every believer can come and taste the fruit of those seeds. Would you say amen? God has made us complete. He has blessed with every spiritual blessing. That means you've been thoroughly equipped to do every good work which God has planned for you. That's what 2 Timothy 3:17 says. Being completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has called us to do good works in this world. Would you say amen? And the only way you and I are going to do works which are fitting His kingdom's sake is we take the spiritual blessings from above and do those works. Would you say amen? If you and I are going to be complete in Jesus Christ, that's what Colossians 2, 9 and 10 calls us to be, complete in Jesus Christ. You're complete when you take the spiritual blessings which He has meant for each one of us. Would you say amen? Are you running along? Ephesians 1, 17 to 21. And I want you to read that passage together. Ephesians 1, 17, 21. It talks about the heavenly places again. And this is Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesus. It's a prayer that all of us can make. If you are not knowing how to pray for a brother or sister, pray this prayer. It's a powerful prayer. Let's read it together. Let's pray it for somebody. Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty hand, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, that His name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Think about this. When we live life above the Son, when we live life in heavenly places, we've got access to God's wisdom and power through Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? You and I have access. We have the right to come and receive the greatness, exceeding greatness of His power to those who believe. God has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wow, think about this. If there's anything you can pray for a brother and sister and say, God, help my brother and sister. Paul said, I want them to understand the extent which God has called them, the wisdom, the revelation, the inheritance that God has given. You see, when you and I get an understanding of what God has laid up for us, when you understand how much wisdom, how much blessing, the great inheritance that God has planned for us, if you get that really in your heart and your mind and your being, then the things of this world and all the temptations of this world mean nothing for you. Would you say amen? This world promises to give power. It promises to give pleasure. It promises to give praise. But you know what? When you have done a real picture of what God has meant for us, then those things the world promises are just useless. They just don't mean very much for us. We say, forget it, because I know there's something that God has reserved for me that is way beyond what this world can ever offer me. Would you say amen? And so we need that revelation. And you know what? When you live above the Son, you access, you open yourself to continuous revelation of what God has planned for us. Would you say amen? Think about it. Every day when you wake up in the morning and you access life above the Son, they say, Jesus, I'm not only living under the Son, I'm going to be living above the Son. When I live above the Son, I take note of all that You have planned for me. And one of those things that You have planned for me is You have given me access to Your wisdom and Your power in Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, 4 and 7. Let's read that. Ephesians 2, 4 and 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Here it is. God is saying, when you're living above the Son, you are sitting together with Me in heavenly places. You're sitting together with Jesus. You're feeling, if you woke up in the morning and you felt the whole day is going to fall apart, remember that you are really sitting together in heavenly places. He did not say you're in heavenly places getting all worried and running around. That's a picture of you are highly stressed, you're running around, worried. But you are sitting content, because the King is on His throne. Would you say amen? And you rule together with Him. So every concern, every need in this, every problem, every worry, you know what? Jesus is on the throne. And you are together with Him. You're an heir. You're sitting together with Him on the throne. You're in control. You're in dominion, because Jesus has given you authority. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. That's life above the Son. When you're living life above the Son, you realize where you're seated. You're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So there's somebody that says, I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that's the most powerful revelation that you and I can get. A revelation that you and I are cleansed, we are washed, and now we get to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. If you and I really get an idea about that, we would live differently. Would you say amen? I would just think about how would my life be different if I really capture, if I grasp what it means to sit with Christ in heavenly places. I think many of all of us don't come. I mean, we seldom fill our mind with that. And that's why we're so worried, we're so concerned, we're so bothered. It's because we don't understand where we are situated. We are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. We always think about our life under the sun. But you know what? God has called us to live above the sun. Would you say amen? And then because you live in heavenly places, because you live life above the sun, Ephesians 3, 10 to 12. Let's read it. Ephesians 3, 10 to 12. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which you accomplish in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Because you now live above the sun, you and I have boldness and access and confidence versus the principalities and the powers. The Bible talks about the principalities and powers of forces which fight against the people of God. Do you know we are in a constant fight? The enemy is constantly fighting against us. But you know what? The Bible tells us that the church, the people of God, may make known to the principalities and powers, the forces which have tried to fight against us. We are going to declare the wisdom, the power, the purpose of God. Would you say amen? We are placed in a position of authority over every principality and power. Would you say hallelujah? When you live above the sun, you realize and recognize that God has placed His church in a position of authority versus the principalities and powers. The devil may look good. The devil may show his sword. The enemy may show his teeth, but they are few. And he may show it and he may roar. But you know what? When you and I realize that God has called the church to declare forth His power to the principalities and powers of the age, you rise up with a new boldness. Someone say amen. That's why Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. You know, you cannot, Ephesians 6 to 10 to 12, you can quickly look at that. It's about our power when we wage warfare. Remember the enemy. The enemy has been given authority in this world. The Bible tells us that. He has been given authority in the world that we live in today. He has got power. In fact, when Jesus was on the earth, the enemy tried to destroy Him various ways. For instance, he tried to make the sea, when Jesus was traveling that sea of Galilee, he tried to send a very strong wind to try to destroy Jesus and his disciples. So the enemy is always waging war. But you know, Ephesians 6, 10 and 12, let's read it. It says, "Finally, my brethren, and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Remember, if you are ever going to battle against the enemy, you and I cannot battle on this under the sun deal. You have to get into heavenly places and battle with the forces of darkness. It's only there when you battle in the heavenly places that you're able to win. Would you say amen? When we're battling in this flesh, in under the sun capacities, you are no match for the devil. Somebody, if you agree with it, say amen. The devil is more crafty. The devil has more wisdom. He's more wise. He's more shrewd. He's got more power. He's got more energy than any one of us. None of us can withstand the devil. We are operating in the flesh and operating below the sun or under the sun. But when you and I operate above the sun, we are able to do great damage against the work of the devil. Would you say amen? You and I are able to do great damage against every thought and plan of the devil. But it requires us to be above the sun. Live our life above the sun. Live in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Live when you're under, when you're living above the sun, living in heavenly places, you are under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Would you say amen? And you take that authority and we go forth and wage warfare. Somebody say good amen. So number one is a call for us to understand what God has called us to live together, live above the sun and not under it. Would you say amen? I pray you've caught that revelation. I hope that we've caught that. That God is, that we don't have to live under the way this world operates, the course of this world. God has delivered us, He has freed us, He has translated us into another dimension with Him. Now it's about bringing the dimension, thy kingdom come upon the earth as it is in heaven. We're calling every day and saying, Jesus, I want that which works out in the heavenlies to become part of my natural realm today. Would you say amen? And that's what Jesus says. He told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As God plans in heaven, as what is operated is life above the sun. Let it be done on our earth here today. If you agree with it, say a good amen. Second thing that caught my attention is about the deal of the chamber. Some of you came on Saturday and you heard about the chamber. And the chamber, I think about the oxygen chamber. They've got this high pressure oxygen chamber, which has been well touted when people get in if you've got a very major injury. And with the high concentration of oxygen, and when you're in that kind of chamber, healing begins to happen very quickly. They tell us a lot about being in this, and they've kind of manufactured all these kind of devices and places you can get into this chamber. And accordingly, when you have an infusion of extra oxygen, you might live a little longer. In fact, some of the Christian scientists tell us that the Earth, many years ago, had that because there was that canopy around the earth. And those of you who understand the book of Genesis, you realize that before the flood, there was a canopy, there was a kind of extra pressure, there was a higher atmospheric pressure, and there was an intense amount of, there was a higher concentration of oxygen upon the earth. And because of that, man was able to live a lot longer. Now you can go read that in all the Christian Science deals. But what was interesting is that it's an idea about being in a place which is saturated with this special substance. I think all the marketing world has come up with all kinds of devices to try to get you to be in this kind of special chambers. But God invites us to a special chamber for Jesus Christ. Would you say amen? To come into His presence and get a saturation, a concentration of more of Him. Would you say amen? There are many verses about prayer. I just want to read a couple of verses talking about how the psalmist seeks the Lord. Psalms 5 verse 3, it says, Lord, in the morning you shall hear my voice. In the morning I'll lay out my request before you and will watch expectantly. Something about the psalmist coming before the Lord. He comes in the morning and says, God, you're going to have a few things you're going to do. You're going to hear my voice in the morning. That minuses all sleep prayers. How many of you do sleep prayers? Some of us pray in our sleep, and that's good. But you know what? Hear prayer in the morning. God, you will hear my voice. That means prayer which is audible, when God can hear your voice in the morning. Amen? That's what the scripture says. Lord, in the morning you shall hear my voice. And this minuses all the kind of sleep prayers we sometimes think about making. Prayer which is powerful is when you wake up in the morning, you decide to open up your mouth and pray and declare things to God. Amen? There's power when you open up your mouth and pray. I know there are times for us to pray silently. That's biblical. There are many, many situations we can do that. But it's a dimension when you come before the Lord, you open up your mouth and declare forth statements to God. So He says, Lord, in the morning you shall hear my voice. In the morning I will lay out my request before you and I will watch expectantly. Not just will God hear my voice, but I will watch expectantly. That kind of tells me about the fact that when you and I come before the Lord and pray, God invites us to turn on the TV. Not the TV that we have at home, but the spiritual television. God will open us. God will open us to a dimension that we can watch what He wants to perform and do. Would you say amen? So when we pray, I believe God wants to bring us to that stage of prayer. When you are praying before the Lord, God begins to show you things in the Spirit. Would you say amen? God wants that to be an experience of every one of us. That God begins to show us things in the Spirit. It becomes as if the television has been turned on, and not showing Disneyland or something else, but a TV of God. God is beginning to show us things. And so the psalmist says, I'm going to watch expectantly what the Lord is going to be doing. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to give us in the chamber. Would you say amen? When you come before the Lord and you spend that time in prayer, and God begins to show you things in the Spirit. God begins to show you, reveal things to you. It begins, and maybe if we start off, it will be black and white. But after a while, it will become so clear. It will become color. And God's going to show us the different things He's planning to do. Maybe the beginning is going to be very slow transmission. It's going to be choppy. But bit by bit, it's going to be very fast and very clear. It's going to be real time. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. God invites us to that chamber. Psalm 63, it says, Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Many other verses. Matthew 6, it talks about, come to the closet and shut your door and pray to your Father. So your Father will reward you openly. Job 22, verse 21, it says, Now acquaint yourself with Him. Get to know Him and you will be at peace. Many verses inviting God's people to come and spend that time focused on Him, reaching out to Him and hearing His voice. Would you say amen? And as a church, we're committed to make that happen. Amen? And it's powerful when you do it individually, and we all need to do it individually, but there's something to be said about doing it corporately. When you come before the Lord and we make this place a chamber, how would it be like when we have meetings in our church and on the week when we come and we are really praying this place, and this place becomes a place where the TV is being turned on in many eyes. People are watching what God is doing. People are letting their voice go up to God in prayer. And you know what? There's a dimension, there's a lingering effect of that kind of move. Would you say amen? You know, if you go to, and when we were using hotels many years ago and sometimes our Oriental Plaza, and you know what, because of the karaoke and because of the parties which happened the day before, there's a lingering effect. The smell stays on, the alcohol, the booze, the partying, the smoking, the vomit, all that, you can smell it the next day. You know that people were around and they were doing all these kind of reckless things. There is something about when you have a church where in the week people are praying through, there's going to be a lingering effect of God's Spirit. When people come in on Sunday, they're going to feel and know there is something about this place. There is something. People are praying in this place. There's a lingering effect of God's presence and power in His church. Would you say amen? We need that. We need this place to be like a chamber. You need exclusive permit to come in. It's special because when you come in, it's as if, just think about it, it's as if you go into an oxygen chamber or some special chamber, and you get all the special, the air, the kind of chemicals which you need to have a strong body. When you come into this chamber, God's going to infuse in your life. Your cells, your spiritual cells are going to receive healing and health. Would you say amen? And I think that happens in the spiritual, comes in the natural as well. Would you say amen? When things happen in our spirit, when a blessing comes into our spirit, it's going to translate into things happening in our natural day-to-day existence. If you agree with it, say a good amen. Amen. Finally, Job chapter 14 and verse 7 to 9. Job 14, 7 to 9. And it goes like this. Let's read it together. One, two, three. Old in the ground, and its stump dies in the dry soil. Sent to water, it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. Hallelujah. Amen. When I say read together, I have about five people reading together. Hallelujah. Silent reading. We need to get out that school system here. This is Job 14:7, it says, "For there is hope for a tree." Do you know what? This is a powerful passage. Now, this passage, the context of it is something else. But the way Brother Eli kind of applied that, I think was powerful. "For there is hope for a tree." Yesterday during cell, Sister Ling Ling was sharing about, the fact that in school, they cut, they've got these trees, and they kind of cut the branches so often, and after that, the tree begins to flower in a very beautiful way. We think about cutting as always being something which we don't like. We don't like to be cut. We don't like things about our life being cut. And think about a tree, all the glory of the tree. The very trunk is cut off, the branches gone, the leaves, everything else, all the glory of the tree is gone, it's cut. But yet, Job says there is still hope for this tree. Many of us, when we look at things which are cut, we say, that's it. Forget it. It's over. It's done. Most of us, we kind of look at things which don't seem to be optimum as things which are gone. It's over. But here is Job saying there is still hope for that tree, because it's possible that it's going to sprout again. And its shoot will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground, its stem dies in a dry soil, at the scent of water, it will flourish. What a thought. What a powerful thought to think that though some of us may have lost hope, maybe some of us have lost hope of rising up spiritually. We kind of remember the days when we used to be, when we were young Christians, and you remember the enthusiasm you had about God. Then you say, well, that's gone. And now today is the harsh reality of life, a competitive job, family responsibilities. You think about it, how can I ever think about getting back a commitment, a hunger, a zeal, a passion, a desire for God? Some of us may have lost a hope in being used in God's kingdom in a significant way. We just can't think about how God can use our skills or talent or what more. Maybe our skills have been decried and people have kind of laughed at our skills. So we say, how can it ever be used for God's glorious kingdom's purpose? Some of us may have lost hope about people in general, maybe about church. We think about people in church as being fake. They don't really care for other people. They're just transactional. Everyone around us just fulfills their own interests. When you don't fulfill their interest any longer, that's out. They're out of the story. They end their friendship with you. They no longer are nice to you. They're only there when you can supply or help them. Some of us have gone through traumatic events in life, and we just feel there is little hope trying to pull things back together. But I believe in church today, God is wanting to infuse in us a new hope. Hope that something new is beginning that has very old roots. Remember, the roots go old. It's old, but it taps deep down. And these roots tap deep down. Though they may be old, they tap deep down. And there is hope. There is hope that God is growing life out of devastation. God is bringing trust back when we feel cynical about things. When God is putting love when there used to be fear. When God is putting back a sense of community and oneness and unity when there used to be isolation. God wants to bring this hope back again. Would you say amen? I think when I think about the fact that God is so willing to do this, I think about a God who is so gracious. Would you say amen? Would you stand? I think about a God who is always willing to give second chances. A God who is always willing to say, well, you know what? I'm not ended with you yet. I still will perform. Even if I have to come to that stage of cutting you off, I am not going to uproot you. I'm not going to burn you out. I'm not going to completely stop you from ever being used in my kingdom. I am going to give you another chance in serving and living for me. Would you say amen? I think about a God who is so gracious and who loves us so much. His grace and His mercy has got no end. That's the kind of God we serve. And that God says there's still hope for us. Would you say amen? We may have lost out, and you know, as a church, we may have lost. You know, Brother Eli said, we're supposed to be so much, and we are 900 short. And that's the Lord, and So Eli, I trust that man for being very prophetically accurate, and he is. I think that's the word of the Lord. That's God. It says God, but there's still hope for us. Would you say amen? There is still hope for us. I don't know what you feel in life. I don't know how, where you feel about your own spiritual state. I know what we feel about our own spiritual progress. We think about any other aspect of our life. Maybe we feel that there just is little hope. But you know what? What God is saying, there is still hope. There is still hope. At the scent of water, it will flourish. What that stump needs, what the seed which has gone so low down, it is, think about those seeds which have been embedded right so deep down. When waters begin to flood right deep down, that seed has a chance of germination. That seed can come back to life. It may have been dormant for years. Last year, the year before, I preached about that 100-year bloom. It was in some desert in the U.S. They'd not seen those flowers for 100 years. But the rains were falling so heavily that year that the desert, that water reached all the way down into the valley and brought forth just those blooms from 100-year ago. Blooms came back. I think about it and I said, Lord, that can be 100-year-old bloom again. There can be things which were deposited in our spirit years ago, which can come back to life today. Would you say amen? There can be things that God has meant for His people, for His church, for each one of us as individuals and collectively as a body. Things which have been deposited years ago. God can bring that back to life. God's water, His Spirit, He can rain once again upon our life and bring to life that which seems dead. I thank God. God's the one who brings back to life. If you're here today, I want you to reach out to God, all of this house. Reach out to God, because God is the one with resurrection power. God is the one who makes things which were dead come back to life. God speaks about things which were dead as if they were living. God's the one who speaks to bones, dry bones, but there is no hope, and brings back sinews and flesh and makes it back to a great army. That's God. That's God. That's God. If you're here today and you're saying, Jesus, I'm here today and I'm saying, Jesus, I'm asking you, would you pour that water back in my life? Would you pour back that rain into my life, Jesus? Lord, I don't want to keep living life under. I'm going to live life above, Jesus. I'm going to come into your chamber and find you and know you, Jesus, and experience what you have meant for your people. I want to experience all the spiritual blessings which you have laid out, which you have purchased for me. Lord, I plan. I want to experience that, Jesus.